Hey everybody, welcome to My Opium Movies. This week we are talking Junior because I have gone on paternal leave. You'll still hear my voice from time to time. Some of these we, you know, record in advance. But Daniel's taking over the show for a bit. Though I probably will still do my cute little intros. I want to thank everyone for supporting us in this last year. I want to thank you for supporting me as I've been getting busier. And I want to thank you for downloading, sharing, and reviewing. It's all good, baby, and I appreciate it. I really do. So continue to share. Consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/myopia. And thanks. Welcome to My Opium Movies. If you are listening to this, I am clearly on paternity leave. I will be on parental leave for, probably 3 months or so. You may hear me throughout. Because some episodes we've recorded in advance, some we haven't. Some I might just be able to dial into. But one way or another, I am taking care of a newborn. Well, I don't know from when, because I don't know the due date exactly yet. Babies get to choose their own. But until probably February, these mics will go quiet and Daniel will take over.
Hello, this is Daniel. As Nick said, I'll be taking over. Looking forward to it, trying to schedule everything. Hopefully everything goes off without a hitch. I'm a frequent contributor to Potos.com, and I'm frequently asked in public whether or not I'm pregnant.
And on panel we also have
Matthew W. Quinn, who is too busy and tired to take over anything these days. But you can check out my books on Amazon.
Well, with that in mind, I do want to also point out the reason I am doing it in this way is that we will not miss any episodes, hopefully. Even the Patreon will be updated throughout. And for those of you who remember me from Cineprov, you remember those things, Cineprov and all that? That will also be updated as permits because I'm planning enough. And hell, even my required reading podcast, Mike Burns, is going to help take over. I guess, depending on when you're listening to this, our newest episode will be an episode on kids' books.
Well, I know you just did a big episode for Cineprov, and I won't spoil it, but it's probably going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've got some good... Again, my comedy, whatever, never sleeps. In the meantime, we're talking about the 1994 sequel to Twins... Junior.
I carry a baby to full term.
Yeah. God, now I have to find my DeVito. Of course, it's Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Emma Thompson, Frank Langella, and Pamela Reed. Directed by Ivan Reitman, someone you think could direct a joke, but chooses not to in this movie. Originally, we were going to do a wholesome movie, like The Parent Trap, and then Daniel had a wild idea. Can you tell me what the man who directed Ghostbusters thought would be funny this time around, Daniel?
Absolutely. Danny DeVito and Arnold are OBGYNs in this movie, and they're testing a drug that is supposed to reduce miscarriages.
Hey, Arnie, I'm going to knock you up.
Well, the way they do that is they're denied by the FDA, so they can't perform it on human subjects, but they need to. So they steal one of Emma Thompson, who's got a whole bunch of frozen eggs. They steal one of them and implant it into Arnie's abdomen. So it's growing, and Arnie's the test subject, and he decides he wants to carry the baby until it's born. And that's the movie. It's Pregnant Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, and I will say my favorite part of this whole thing is Emma Thompson's character. She's great throughout. I don't know what it is about having to have... It's something so 90s to have a brilliant female character, so something has to be wrong with her, so she has to be a klutz. Like, you know, the other option would be the Big Bang Theory, where you have, like, incredibly attractive women, so you give them glasses, and you're just like, she couldn't possibly be attractive. But at one point,
or
like...
the she's all that right. Scenario.
Yeah, there's the meat cue with those two involves a giant container of liquid nitrogen rolling down a ramp, and she's riding it, and...
Yes.
Hits Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Arnold Schwarzenegger stops it, and she lands on top of him. And
by the way, this is 1994. She's practically like creating velociraptors with that thing. Like, it's so funny the way this technology works. But I bring her up because she's kind of the Greek chorus to us all during this thing. Because at one point she's like, are you telling me you violated ethics, you stole one of my eggs without permission, and used it to get you pregnant? Pregnancy was the one thing women still had, and now you're trying to take it from us.
Now, you know why I think Arnold Schwarzenegger did this movie? Is because of the scene where they're putting his sperm in the egg, and Danny DeVito's like watching it and going, oh man, this looks great. You got a big load, and they're all swimming, and it's like, yeah, I do the movie. You must ensure my sperm swims.
Well, I mean, this is kind of the natural progression after Terminator, where we see him just walking around naked, and you're just like, well, we've seen his Austrian hog at this point, but what could it do? Well, it's, I'm so powerful, I can get myself pregnant.
The steroids did nothing.
Nothing. The steroids shrunk it, and still look at them. They're incredible.
I think, according to Almighty TV Tropes, he really put his all into this because his wife was pregnant and really not liking it at the time.
Oh,
so he wanted to like make a point.
This would be still Maria Shriver, I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Before they divorced, probably 3 years after this came out. They've been broken up a long time.
Yeah, that was...
But I mean, I will say, what's funny to me about this, again, appropriate, as my wife is in the process of giving birth when this came out, I guess.
Not literally in the process,
right,
by the way.
We're recording this in early November.
If you listen closely, can you hear her screaming for drugs?
Yeah, exactly.
drug-seeking behavior. But what I'm saying is, like, it's funny how they get so much of this right, like... The problem is, Arnold is not... Is he funny? Do you guys think he's funny?
The whole joke of this is that he's acting like a stereotypical pregnant woman.
But that's not...
And he's like funny. The manliest man alive.
I mean, you, Mr. Quinn, have just nailed the sales pitch. What if the most masculine man... Like, I think at one point, I don't know if it's still true, but he was the most expensive male nude ever, right? Like this... This embodiment of masculinity got pregnant, right? Like, that's the sales pitch.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is pregnant. Because, again, Twins came out, like, late 80s, 88, 89, something like that.
Somewhere around there. I've never seen it myself.
I mean, it's fine. It's a classic comedy. Actually, much more dark Eastern European comedy, because I think they're supposed to both be clones in some way. And, like... Arnold gets all the good genes.
Are you telling me that Twins is a live-action adaptation of Worker and Parasite?
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, like just listen to this run of films. Ivan Reitman. You're Ivan Reitman, and he has directed 79, Meatballs, 81, Stripes, 84, Ghostbusters, 89, or 88, Twins, 89, Ghostbusters 2, 90, Kindergarten Cop, and then this.
He did Kindergarten Cop?
He did.
I did not know that.
But I mean, again, like, Kindergarten Cop, Arnold being funny, picking up that kid, who is your daddy and what does he do? Like, that's just, it's funny. Like, that's a movie. And here you're like, well, we need a sequel to something. And he goes, so what about Dave? No, not more Dave. What about a sequel to Twins, wherein, it also has Ghostbusters 2 syndrome, where I don't remember what they did in the first in Twins, per se. But now they're just, like, the world-famous gynecologists.
Well, the joke in Twins seems to be... And again, I've never seen the movie all the way through. I think I saw the end scene on cable once.
Sure.
The joke was Danny DeVito is a very short, stout man. Yep. Which, good for him.
Brace yourself. Wait. What?
Yeah, I know. He is a very short man.
I never quite grasped just how short he was until I see him playing against... Arnold Schwarzenegger, and who plays Baines, the university guy?
That's the
Franklin
joke.
Langella. Yeah.
Franklin Langella, to answer your question, but that's the joke. I mean...
That's the joke.
But it's
funny because it's the same joke, and it's always Sunny in Philadelphia, because he's supposed to be, what, Sweet D and Sweet D's dad, too? And Sweet D is, like, a foot and a half taller than him?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, like, the joke there is just that his wife had an affair... And he's kind of their dad, but also just kind of a billionaire deadbeat, which is great.
Isn't he Mac's dad in It's Always Sunny? Wasn't that the episode?
Yeah, but isn't it Mac and Dee or... whatever it is. But, like, essentially, he's, like, supposed to be the parent of these, like, people who are 6 feet tall even.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, again, though, in Twins, the whole thing is they're playing twins, but Danny DeVito is, like, a foot and a half shorter than Arnold. And just... they don't look alike. That was the joke. That's... not a bad joke necessarily, but...
well, and to put a fine point on it, came out in 88, right? And rather than take a salary, they agreed to take 40% of the box office returns, split up between DeVito, Schwarzenegger, and the director, Ivan Reitman. The movie made $216 million in 1988. This is still the biggest paycheck Arnold Schwarzenegger has ever taken home.
Really?
For Twins. Right, adjusted for inflation, all that stuff. But like 88 Twins, he took home like somewhere in the neighborhood of like $40 million or something.
Wow.
And them's Reagan bucks. So like, of course you're going to make a sequel. But what we were talking about beforehand is there's been forever a sequel to Junior kicking around called Triplets or something like that, where the third one of them is supposed to be played by Eddie Murphy. And again, there's heat around this. It's one of those movies that, like Gremlins 3, I think is never going to happen. But at the same time, you're just kind of like, it would be better than most of the stuff they're doing right now.
Well, I mean, let's rewind here and go ahead and dive into this movie, especially with the opening scene, because it sets the tone.
There are two things that set the tone. It's this dream where he is in the library, and it's just your run-of-the-mill local library. And then he finds a baby. Just a man. You know, like you do, a baby. He picks up the baby and a tidal wave of piss comes out. Like it's, you can't.
There's a baby here. There must be a mother.
Whose baby is this? Oh no. Oh no, he's peeing on my suit. And he's holding the baby away. And then he turns the corner. And it turns out the audience are just children. There's just a row. After, they're babies! They're babies!
It was the Nickelodeon test audience in 1991 is what that was.
So, I guess this is neither here nor there, but is this movie grosser than Look Who's Talking?
I don't want to see any of those movies.
Oh my god, we have to see... I think Look Who's Talking 2, it's Rosie O'Donnell and Bruce Willis voicing children. I mean, stay the fuck tuned. Holy cow, and John Travolta's in it.
Oh God.
Oh, boy. But the other thing...
is my baby talking? Oh, my God!
Gee, I've been a stunt dancing. But what I was going to say is that scene, I don't know which is worse, that one or the one when he first gets pregnant and he gives birth and the baby has his face superimposed.
Oh, my God.
The baby's like, Mom, Mom! And you're just like... I looked into the face of hell at that point. That was the scariest fucking thing.
That comes a little later, but you're right. Let's talk about what happens between them. This is when they're talking about... what's the name of this drug? Expectane?
Something like that. Aspartame. It's just fake sugar.
And they're trying to get FDA approval, and Danny DeVito is really passionate about trying to get it approved, which you later... I think they've actually pretty clever on the filmmaker's part that it's pretty much all but said that he's sterile.
Yes.
And
it's called Expectane, you're right.
And the FDA refuses to let them progress to the next steps. It's never really explained why. And so they shut down the university shuts down their lab.
And at this point we learn two things. A, Frank Langella is their boss. I guess he's the dean of the medical school they're working for. And Danny DeVito's ex-wife is pregnant via Aerosmith somehow.
I just realized the first act of this movie is the same as Ghostbusters. It's two scientists working for a university. They're in a library. Something weird goes wrong, and all of a sudden they lose their jobs and the funding for their university. Just when they're about to pack it up, right? Turns out that the science is good, and they're going to make a whole bunch of money. It's the exact same as Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and Danny DeVito actually buys a ticket to get on the airplane to follow Arnold, who's trying to go back to Europe.
Oh, and I think Sudsy was the one who pointed this out to me. But good on the movie. Or no, you did. Matt did. Good on the movie for acknowledging that he's not an American. This is one of those things that JCVD and Arnold Schwarzenegger should just be like, of course, I am an American named Matt My name is Matt Johnson, and I am totally from America. And you're like, no, JCVD, you've always been Belgian. I'm sorry, you can pretend to not be.
The one time it worked was in Hard Target, because at least that was in New Orleans.
It's previous episode, I'm due for a rewatch, and then, God bless his fat soul, when his Uncle Duvet shows up.
No, them all! There's a place you can't stand me!
And he goes, Uncle Duvet, didn't I give you a shotgun? And he goes, a Gatorade. And I'm just like, a gator ate a shotgun while you were asleep. Bravo, Uncle Duvet.
I wish we could say bravo to any of these characters, but we've already talked about how they're introduced. Emma Thompson takes over the Unruh's lab, and DeVito, you know, runs into his ex who's pregnant.
And wants him to be her doctor because the other doctor is a creep.
Well, and also, it's his ex-wife, and he kind of sort of, well, their plot line never really resolves in a lot of ways, but they both clearly want kids, and she thinks hooking up with a roadie is the way to do it, I guess. It's weird.
Only he initially thought it was some sort of thing with all the band members.
Well, that's what she says.
That she said Aerosmith, so we thought it was, you know, like a Steve Tyler or Joe Perry's kid, but no, it's their personal trainer.
Yes. I will also say Emma Thompson is kind of interesting in this, because the whole thing is that they've tested this drug on primates, which you kind of do. I almost said chipmunks. Jesus Christ. chimpanzees. And then Emma Thompson, she's not like... It would be so easy to make her kind of like the bitch who's coming in, but she's not. She's actually very nice. She's sympathetic to them. She's shocked this happened to them.
She's open to having sex with the Arnold.
Well, first of all, yeah. It's a 1994 Arnold Schwarzenegger.
She's willing to let them timeshare the lab with her, even though she has no reason to, just because she's nice.
Although there is a scene where she steps on the Arnold's, and that's how I refer to him in my notes. She steps on his dick.
Oh, God, she does. Which is something... Also...
When the meet cute.
Yeah.
Previous episode, True Lies. Before or after this?
It was the same year, I think.
Well, but, I mean, because you see Arnold cut, a glorious rug in that movie, I think you just have to have a dancing scene. That dinner party scene in this movie is one of the greatest awkward dinner scenes of all time. Right? Like, where they're having, you know what I'm talking about, where there's a reception, and she knocks over a tray of hors d'oeuvres. She then comes to the dance floor with toilet paper on her heel. And then she's trying to dance and kick it off. Arnold's trying to play it off, and then she kicks her shoe into someone's soup. I don't know why Emma Thompson has to be the butt of all these jokes, but she can deliver a joke. It's funny.
Well, does she have any character flaws at all? Because she seems...
Dude, she's klutzy as hell.
That's the only flaw her character has. And that's not a moral flaw.
No, it's not. But, like, it's a comedy. Well, actually, Matt, the problem is I agree with you. She's a great character. Just let her be a good character. The fact that they make her klutzy makes it muddy. It's a madcap enough situation. In fact, what I think would make it easier is if Dean Langella showed up more. Like, think of Ghostbusters. The EPA guy's there all the fucking time, right? Like, pre-Troubles, Jeffrey Jones. Like, just someone who's, just someone who's there, like, sticking his nose into things. Like, that's where the comedy should come from. Don't make her a klutz, man. Like, and again, like, she's introduced, like, flipping a lever and ramming a thing filled with liquid nitrogen through.
And that's the origin story of Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin.
Dude! That's the next year. Full circle. Dude.
No, that was a couple years down the line.
I thought it was 95.
It's the circle 97. Of life, people.
Oh, forever was 95.
Yes.
Okay. So, but yeah, like, can you imagine if there was an Arnold cinematic universe?
Well, here's,
better world.
Here's what took me
out. Get to the chopper. The guy's scrubbing. Here, Arnie, I'll scrub her in for surgery. It's me from Predator, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Weren't you dead?
Don't worry, buddy. I'll scrub you in for surgery. Oh, I gotta shave your taint there, buddy. Don't you worry.
You know Jesse Ventura would use the term perineum to make himself
that
sound
smarter. That sounds more like Shane Black than Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura was like, I'm a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
Gonna shave you for surgery now.
Are you trying to be me, Matthew Quinn? Because you're not me. You are not me. I'm the sexual tyrannosaurus here on this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Quinn is part of the deep state. He is part of the deep state. He's trying to steal your soul. I'm stealing your soul. Buy my anti Matt Quinn spray, and you can put Matt Quinn away.
I do also
I'm going to make you pregnant, Alex.
I do like the
for the deep state.
I like the idea that Emma Thompson rolls off of him in that very weird sex scene where they're in like a an abused women's home or whatever's going on there, and she goes, "You're a sexual tyrannosaurus." And see,
you're a sexual. I'm trying to do a British accent. It's not working.
But no, she doesn't really even do her British accent. It's like she's trying to do a Benedict Cumberbatch American accent. Like she's swallowing a lot of them R's.
Well, here's what took me out of the movie.
You're saying you weren't fully invested in this?
I was not.
I wasn't either. It somehow took me like 4 hours to watch an hour and 50 minute movie.
Yeah, this was a very boring watch, but for me it was the scene where they're trying to convince Arnold, because after he's essentially fired from the university, he decides he's going to go back to Europe, and Danny DeVito's like following him the entire time.
Right.
And Arnold has a plane ticket to Paris, so randomly Danny DeVito buys one for himself in order to keep pounding him. And I'm like, okay, I know your doctor's...
Phrasing. We're going to just let that ride?
It's still riding.
But that entire time, I'm like, I know you're doctors, but this is just weird. How in the fuck can you just afford a ticket to Paris randomly at the last minute?
Well, but the other thing about it, too, is then they stop doing any work for the entire rest of the movie. Right? Like,
well, they still inject the... They still inject me with the fetus.
No, but I mean, like... At the beginning, like, we have this great montage of Danny DeVito working. You know, he's walking through his offices, he's shaking hands, he's, like, the woman goes, like, I feel I'm about to explode. He goes, oh, not in here. And, like, he's doing his shtick, and he's being a good OB. And then once they get fired, they still theoretically should have practices and patients. I like the idea, though, that the dean's just like, we fired your doctor, here's someone else, right? Like... But then they just stop working. And at one point, they just move him to various safe houses like he's hiding from the mob.
Which is something. Baines actually at one point is like, you and your baby are now university property. So they kind of are.
I mean, he'd have to be one of the top gynecologists in the country to afford that house that he's in San Francisco.
That's true. And I mean, like, and again, what's interesting about this, like, of all things... It's also kind of a courtroom drama. Like, this is also, like, turns almost into Disclosure or something for a bit. Rising Sun for a bit. Because, like, he sneaks off to Canada to sell his medicine to the Canadians because the university cut his funding and he's, like, trying to get around. Like, there's this weird, like, legal stuff going on, too. And Arnold goes into labor.
Now, here's... I'm not sure how. I mean, is he squeezing his abs really hard to force it out of his chest like the alien?
So, because we were talking about this off mic before, he's pregnant in what they call the omentium, which is the adipose layer of tissue on the underside of your abs. So there's a layer of fat and abs right here that I'm jiggling at my friends.
Yeah, Santa
Claus. My best friends in the world, and I'm jiggling my gut at them. And I'm like, you see here? I could be pregnant right here.
You act like you haven't done that before.
Oh, 100% I have. Anyway, so they've essentially, at one very homoerotic scene, at one very sensual scene, they impregnate him, and we see on the monitor what looks like to be something funded by the Catholic Church. It's like, you see, on day three, there's a viable fetus that you can see on the ultrasound.
You see that string of pearls? That's the spine.
And if I may.
Yeah, it seems to develop
the string
pretty
of pearls is because it's Jocktober and the Braves fucking won the World Series. So go Braves.
Yeah. Suck it, Astros.
Yeah. How long does this movie take place? That seemed like...
Now brace yourself. Probably 9 months.
Because it keeps saying like 1 week later, 10 weeks later. I mean, It doesn't seem like it's 9 months.
Well, a pregnancy takes about 9 months, so I would guess. And it is Northern Central California. The seasons don't really change in California, so that helps. It's also L.A. playing San Francisco, so the seasons definitely don't change. But yeah, it's about 9 months.
You know, there's one scene I wish was in this movie. They hint at it, but they don't actually do it. Before they implant the fertilized egg into our new egg in me. They have a scene.
I want my baby.
Well, first they have a scene where Danny DeVito's like showing off his porn collection to a couple that wants.
That is a world class scene. And it's floor to ceiling. It's practically the scene out of what is it, like the third Naked Gun movie where Anna Nicole Smith is working at a sperm bank, just like, don't worry, here's one of the cups. Choose your favorite. I've seen them all. Wink. And you're just like, is this the penguin?
I wish there was a scene with Arnold Schwarzenegger filling the cup, like even just outside the room where he's like picking the porn he wants. That would have been funny.
I pitched this to my wife yesterday, so I'm going to pitch it to you as a man I respect. Where is the Criterion Collection, like box set, of the Zucker Abrams Zucker movies? Because that's what I want. Because I want the jokes. I want them to also be behind the scene, like talking like, yeah. So tell me about that scene where Priscilla Presley was climbing the ladder. Leslie Nielsen looks up at her and goes, nice beaver. Yeah.
I don't have an answer. I think that would be a good box set. Airplane, Naked Gun, Top Secret.
First of all, there's two airplanes, three Naked Guns. There's Top Secret. They also did the Hot Shots 1 and 2.
Oh, Hot Shots would be good, but I don't think the Abrams did Airplane 2.
But, oh, you're right. They sold the rights for that one. Or they made money off of it, but they didn't direct it. But I'm just saying, like, in the way that they should make a Michael Jackson music video box set and a Weird Al music video box set, I would pay so much money. Because again, you know it'd be 4K and gorgeous quality. Meanwhile, something that doesn't need 4K. Can you imagine this in 4K? Someone going frame by frame with a Q-tip and dusting off the dust. And
Actually, you know what? I kind of want that to happen now because it would just be such a waste of time and it would be funny.
I mean, this isn't Clinton, but Clinton was the one president who loved movies and had the movie theater put, you know, we got to make sure for future generations that they can watch Junior in 4K.
Well, Hillary, do you think I could ever get pregnant? Oh, I can just make other people pregnant? All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Now, Al, I need you to open Area 53 and see if we can get a man pregnant. Where's the IMAX experience for that one? I don't know what you wanted me to fucking tell you. Arnold gets pregnant. And he takes the drug, and it turns out the drug works. And you know what? Funny enough, I love Ghostbusters. But for them, they're academics, and they want to prove that it fucking works. And they were fucking right. For this, the whole point is people miscarry. We've made a drug that makes it impossible to miscarry. They're doing good work here.
Well, I mean, after he gets pregnant, there are a couple of scenes where he's acting like a... Which, this is kind of weird. He's acting like a stereotypical pregnant woman.
Well, I think it's in the formula they're feeding him is not only expectane, it's also a lot of female hormones.
Well, yeah. So
they give him some estrogen.
But, like, and then, like, the one scene that I think is at least the one that I was thinking of when you were saying that is at one point Danny DeVito's ex-wife comes over because... The thing is, she really wants Danny DeVito to still be in her life. She intentionally got pregnant with someone that she would never see again. It's the third act of The Big Lebowski, effectively. So she wants Danny DeVito to be the father, which turns out he wants to be at the end anyway. But she's bonding with Arnie. Sorry, Alex Hess. My name is Dr. Alex Hess. Eating just food, right? Because he made spaghetti and... The part that I think is offensive of all of this is not that, oh, she's pregnant, yada, yada, yada. It's that he starts acting like a little snit, right? Like, oh, I guess the noodles will be soggy then. I can't believe I made dinner for you just to ditch me. And you're just like, guys, this is not that movie.
Oh, there's an earlier...
And I'm crying over that that wedding video and...
Yes, there's that scene where Arnold's... crying over she's daddy's little girl.
And she's like, he starts getting really clingy with Danny DeVito.
Well, like, okay, two things.
He starts getting clingy with Danny DeVito.
First, the emotion thing, as a dude who's not pregnant, but around a pregnant woman all the time, totally is true. I cry for no reason now. I cry watching stupid movies. I cry listening to music. I cry sometimes reading things. It's very bizarre. So, points for that. And you were the one who said Arnie did research. I bet you that's something that he noticed too, because something about being, as a man, swimming through a sea of estrogen like I do in my house right now. And yes, Matt was watching me do a little swimming motion with my hands. I totally believe that that happened.
Well, in the background also throughout all this is Frank Langella like confronting Danny DeVito going, hey, you're not testing this on humans, are you? This drug that's not approved by the FDA.
Totally illegal.
No.
What they're doing. But again, that's why I'm telling you, they started with the script from Ghostbusters because it's the EPA going like, what is all of this?
Yes, it's true. Frank Langella has no dick.
I was going to say, well, I can't remember the character's name. All I know is that he's dickless. That's what they call him throughout.
Peck. My name is Peck.
Yes, that's right. Gregory Peck was in it.
Walter, I think.
Yes, you see.
Frank Langella keeps trying to blackmail his way into their little scheme.
Dude, and they troll the fuck out of him. They catfish him at the end, which is great. It's so great because I will say something about 80s and 90s films that I hate is that academia is evil, right? Especially now in an era where science, no one believes science, apparently. I forgot the part where Miss Frizzle got arrested for some reason. But usually we're supposed to trust science. But
I'm pretty sure Miss Frizzle will get arrested for kidnapping.
I do like the idea
that the parental permission slips are signed.
Well, and child endangerment.
That might be harder to get out of.
I do like the idea that Frizzle shows up, like, instead of 12 kids, she has 11, and she goes, Frizzle out! And then just, pow! Disappears like it's the TARDIS.
Oh, la la la.
Well, is he an academic or is he an administrator?
No, they were working for the university.
I'm talking about Baines. He seems like an administrator type rather than a doctor.
I got the sense that he was like the dean of the medical university.
So the scene that I think explains it, I think Matt is technically right, but you're not thinking capitalist enough. Because, he is the head of the company, but he's also a professor. Just like at Georgia Tech, almost all the engineering professors and UGA, almost all the engineering professors also own their own companies. He is a professor that works for the school, but that short little dude, that bald guy that shows up at the press conference outside the hospital, he's actually the head of the university. And so when he introduces himself, I'm the head of blank pharmaceuticals and professor at the university, and he's the head of the university.
Yes, that's at what the end. Okay.
And so it's like this little, like this weird public-private partnership nonsense. And so that's why he shows up to claim the child, because he's trying to make money off it. It's not about research for him. It's about making the money. And that's where we have to have a villain, and that's where the villain is going to be.
Yeah, apparently. Although, we've been jumping all over the plot of this movie. I mean,
So you want to talk about the fact that Arnold says that his hormones are, his sexual appetites are growing, and he got an erection watching a commercial or whatever?
No, yeah. I was boiling a melon and I got a stiffy.
Right? And you're just like, do you fuck that melon?
Yeah, I say balling a melon. Is this American Pie?
Oh, if only.
Brava.
If Brava. Only. Well, anyway.
Wait, no. God, if it was National Lampoon Presents Junior, much grosser movie. This movie is
frankly much better movie because one thing we haven't mentioned, this movie is fucking boring.
Yeah, it has a lot of times I admit I laughed out loud, but the movie is so ponderous and dull.
I find the directing on this, or the director boring, but Knocked Up is a better version of this.
Yes. Juno is a better version of this.
Juno's an excellent movie, but unfortunately, the time when it came out and the time that we were cutting our film teeth, people were obsessed with that film. And it was just so quirky and cute. I wonder if it holds up, because once I saw it before there was this huge hype about it. And then everyone was hyping about it, and I'm like, I feel dirty all the time.
Has it been 10 years and 5 years since you've seen it?
I mean, it came out in 2007,
I don't think I've seen it since 2007.
So that could be a stay tuned.
We could be a stay tuned where, in a world where, what's the guy's name? Michael Cera knocks someone up.
Oof. Oh, yeah, that's, I'm not sure if he's done that in real life. Does anyone know?
He's never gotten an erection.
Well, I mentioned Juno because that's Ivan Reitman's son who directed that movie, right?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess stay tuned for the new Ghostbusters Afterbirth or whatever the new one's called.
And because he's so horny, he starts pursuing Diana, the other doctor, for a date, and it works. And then eventually find out that Danny DeVito had actually used one of her eggs, not the eggs of an anonymous donor, and she finds out, and she's a bit pissed.
Well, she should be.
Arnold, not it was Danny DeVito who was doing all the sneaky stuff.
Well, okay, but remember, the whole thing is there's also this whole... The point of the drug is that people who can't get pregnant are supposed to be helped. But there is moral implications here. That's also kind of the problem with this movie. It almost wants to be a message movie in some ways. And I don't know what the message is, right? Like, because, like you said at the beginning, Danny DeVito is probably infertile.
Yes.
Right? And Arnold is single. He's not really thinking about kids, but he wants to help. Like, he is supposed to be an honest, good soul. She wants to have kids very badly, but is single, right? And this is a very traditional movie. What would have been interesting, and again, if you remade it now, it may be a thing where she's trying to have her, like, be pregnant and single, right? Like,
well, this movie doesn't work because the premise sets itself up for such corniness. You know, like, I want to see the Arnold in maternity clothes the entire time. I want to see him, like, whining about sore nipples the entire time.
They do have a joke about that.
Well, they have a single joke about that, but what I want to see is them doing that sort of base comedy. I mean, they're trying to be more highbrow, and that just doesn't work for the premise.
But
there are a couple scenes that are funny. I mean, we've mentioned some of them. I think, Matt, you were the one who brought up Arnold cooking pasta and then whining that Danny DeVito's going to be late.
Yeah. But I mean, like...
And they have an East German athlete joke.
That comes a little later. But yes, that's what I wanted.
Well, like, to me, so it's... What's that fucking movie? It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie where the trees are making people...
The Happening.
So Mark Wahlberg's in it, and he's like, hey, bro, I always wanted to be a science teacher, so people thought I was smart. That's what it screams to me. Like, what would have been interesting is if it was Danny DeVito, and he was the OB, right? And then Arnold was just his buddy for some reason. Like,
yeah.
The fact that he's a scientist almost makes it worse because he's trying to explain stuff. Like, that's the thing that Juno does well, because, like, when Elliot Page is pregnant, J.K. Simmons is, like, the gruff dad, like, what's wrong with you?
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but this would have been a great Adam Sandler movie.
And then, no, you're right, but keep the characteristics the same. Arnold's a doctor, Danny DeVito's a doctor, but Adam Sandler's just this third guy who's pregnant.
Yes.
Right? Because then it's just like, I'm just craving Big Macs all the time. And you're just like, you're right, Adam Sandler. You are an idiot. Who's worth $7.8 billion or whatever you're worth.
He is. He could buy and sell us multiple times.
Hey, Adam Sandler, I need money.
Adam Sandler, if you're out there somewhere, can you join our Patreon?
That's right. Well, first of all, we know Elliot Page is already part of the Patreon, so thank you for your service. But I would gladly also take, you know, we do have a $25 level for the likes of Adam Sandler for Happy Madison Productions.
Well, seriously though, I think that would have been a better movie. It probably would have been a lot dumber.
1994. I mean, Billy Madison was out at least, if not Happy Gilmore as well.
It was around the same time, yeah, 95, 96, but. Make this one of those stupid SNL comedies.
Speaking of 1994, you know who'd have made this even weirder? A Kevin Smith movie. And it's Silent Bob who's knocked up. Motherfucker, you're pregnant, bro. And then Jason Mewes is motherfucker. George Carlin is one of the doctors. I am making a stronger film.
Time for you to do a how I would have done it post.
You know what? That's all you, buddy. That's
do
all
it.
You, baby.
You do it.
Well, let's try
please,
at least
advance
talk
the plot,
about
please.
What happens here. We get a scene with Emma Thompson and Arnold. They're about to have sex. Danny DeVito's ex shows up. And then
she falls off the couch and loses a contact lens or whatever the hell's happening there.
And then we get like a bunch of random scenes where, you know, Arnold's pregnancy is progressing
and they think the whole thing is they spin it as him gaining weight, like he's going to a fat guy clothing store
and he's trying to wear baggy clothing, and at one point he's showing visibly so what he does is he tries to be the first one in the office so no one can see him sit down at his workstation, right? And they bring him a birthday cake, which is the worst, saddest-looking birthday cake I've ever seen.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell that was a birthday cake.
Dude, it's like a Simpsons joke. Like, it's built off balance, and, like, half of it has sunk. And they're like, happy birthday, Alex! And
it wasn't McGaggy's birthday?
McGaggy? Homer, I made a cake for you to ruin. It's over there. Ooh! But... And no, I do not have a Simpsons voice.
No, that's
all
fair.
All of my Simpsons voice sound like that skit where Homer's pretending to be Marge and he goes, ooh, homie, you're so handsome. Hey, I don't need her at all anymore. One of the saddest and funniest sketches.
Now, this was a very excellent movie, Smithers.
You know what? That's fucking great.
Yeah, that was good.
Sure, you have I can't do Smithers. I can do Mr. Burns.
Stick to they're different actors. So you can do what Hank Azaria can do. Work on Hank Azaria voice. But what I was going to say is, the joke is, he's so touched people thought of his birthday, he starts to cry. And at this point, Emma Thompson is stroking her chin being like, he has a lot of pregnancy symptoms.
As is Frank Langella, who's like harassing Danny DeVito about, you're working on a human subject, aren't you?
One of those humanzees I read about on Infowars.com. And he's like practically sniffing the wastebasket next to the bathroom.
Yeah, he's like, he manages to annoy his way in Danny DeVito's house, and he's clearly obviously trying to blackmail him. And Danny DeVito, and he's like, can I use your bathroom? Danny DeVito's like, sure.
Yes. Oh
which,
my God.
You don't
which,
let
why?
A man, the guy's trying to blackmail you. Do not let him in your house unsupervised.
Well, it's not even blackmail. He's trying to steal the research which he got fired for exploiting, right? It's nonsense. And in this whatever 90s mansion that he's living in, he finds empty vials of the medication, Inception or whatever it's called.
Expectane.
And yes.
He takes one of them back to the lab, and he and his minion are like examining it.
And it's the real deal.
I mean, and here's how unnecessarily detailed this movie gets. Frank Langella is questioning them because, I notice on your expense account you're buying the materials that are used to create Expectaint.
Yes.
Expectaint. Oh my God. Expectaint.
Yeah. And he goes, you know, we're making more because we know the FDA will come around, and we want to make sure we have enough of the base unit, whatever nonsense. And he goes, wah-ha-ha-ha-ha. And then he tenses his fingers and leaves the scene. I guess. Whatever. This movie's gross.
Yeah. Can we go ahead and skip to the third act? Which Matt's alluded to, where
we may or may not be there already. I have no idea.
They hide Arnold in that clinic.
Like some sort of retreat for pregnant women, where they do like exercise routines.
Well, but there's also like the most basic Mommy and Me classes with like, here's how you change a diaper, and Arnold like body slams the baby doll, which is something like literally you hear metal like, and you're just like they're like. A little softer.
And they're doing like the LeMaze exercise, they call it.
Yeah.
And Arnold is like screaming, and he sounds like Conan the Barbarian.
Wait. Did you just say it was called LeMaze?
She did.
LeMaze.
The LeMaze classes where he's like practicing his breathing and stuff, which, by the way,
Yeah, he sounds like Conan in the battle.
I will say though, buddy, I'm sorry, you're not gonna have to squeeze anything out of anything. You're gonna have a C-section no matter what. You don't have to work on your breathing, though. It is a touching scene.
I'll shoot it out of my ass. It will be covered in chocolate.
That is the grossest joke yet. I will also say, these scenes, though, despite the fact that we are practically in Mrs. Doubtfire range with how silly he looks as a woman. I was saying they were very respectful to the pregnant women, actually. Like, there's no joke played at anyone else's expense. They make an effort to say, yes, these women need support. They're finding support. Fine. And they respect Arnold for some reason, even though he locks himself in his room when he's having contractions, which is a weird scene.
How can he have contractions if he doesn't have a uterus?
Because the movie has to end.
Does this baby have an umbilical cord?
It has to. Like, that's the one thing it has to do.
Maybe it's fused into his blood supply directly.
Well, that's why they attach it where it attaches. The utonium, or whatever I called it before. But turns out this movie, a lot of nonsense. Although I will say, they start out by saying, we did this to a chimpanzee male once. It lasted 5 weeks, right?
Well, there's that whole plot point where it's like, okay, we've got the data we need. You don't need to take Expectane anymore. And then Arnold keeps doing it.
Yeah, it turns into like some sort of thing where someone's trying to make a woman have an abortion and doesn't want to. Like, I'm keeping my baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is the pro-life angle, kind of. What's interesting about it is they make a distinct effort for it to not be that, because it's not like there's a moral obligation. She chooses to keep the baby. It's still very pro-choicey, kind of. It reminds me of Juno in that way as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Juno is not anti-abortion. It's, what does she want to do? Ask her honestly, what does she want to do? And she chooses to keep the child, which is great. And Arnold then starts chugging more of the tidy bowl blue liquid.
And then eventually he carries the baby to term and he gives birth, although it's...
Well, we should talk about the one scene beforehand. They're racing towards the hospital and a guy who looks like Brad Dourif calls in and goes, hey, they're saying a C-something is going to happen and to clear the hospital floor, which I don't know if you can do.
See, I thought that guy was Bob Odenkirk.
Either way, yes. He could have been Bob Odenkirk. He could have also been someone from an Ernest movie. But one way or another...
Hey, Vern, we got a pregnant man here. Vern.
But one way or another, I don't know if you can just say, hey, everyone at the hospital, go away. Because they send everyone home. There's no one else in this entire hospital. It's as though they're like, we can't afford any extras. Can you come up with an excuse to clear the entire floor of a hospital?
Again, nothing here is funny. I mean, the support group scenes were funny, but this was supposed to be a comedy, wasn't it?
It sure was.
It's like a one-joke premise. You know, the manliest man alive acting like a stereotypical pregnant woman, and they milk it.
I will also say...
I see what you did there when you say milk it.
Yeah, no, he made a joke about it. I will say, you say funny comedy... The movie he did before this was Dave, so he may have lost the touch by this point.
Mm.
Anyway, so one long story short, this is that scene I talked about before where the head of the school and Frank Langella called together a press conference to say, we're about to have a pregnant man come in, watch this. And out of the back seat comes Danny DeVito's ex-wife, who is also very pregnant.
The head of the university and Franklin Gellis show up and they're touting the world's first pregnant man, and then they swap the cars, so Danny DeVito's ex-wife shows up and he's like, what are you all doing here? I need to take care of my ex-wife. And
yeah,
then
my patient is pregnant, and turns out that they just went in the back door. And Arnold has to climb up the fire exit as a person in labor, which is that's a joke. But then they both give birth, and yeah, that's kind of it. They both give birth,
and they have a year later. Arnold and Diane or Diana are an item, and she's pregnant, yep. and they're having a joint one, you know, first birthday for Junior and the ex-wife's son with Jake. The roadie, and Diana is telling Dr. Arbogast's wife that they should have a brother or sister for Jake, and she's like, I don't know if I want to do this again. They all start looking at Danny DeVito and cut to him running.
No. Yeah.
Well, I think they say, I want another baby, but I don't know if I can go through that again. Well, you may not have to. And they all look at Danny DeVito.
And he starts running away in his short way. And that's kind of Junior. That's it. What do you think, Sudsy?
This was a weird movie. I mean, oh boy. Maybe had Adam Sandler been in this movie, or had John Waters directed it.
Gross.
That's what we needed. This was a great premise, but its execution was just so boring and standard. I don't know who this is for. I really don't.
Yeah.
There were parts that I thought were funny. The nightmare sequence with seeing the baby Arnold was funny, but overall, it's just pointless.
Matt?
This was so boring and stupid, even though it had a fair number of bits I actually thought were funny. But it's just not worth watching. It's not worth the time.
I'm going to disagree with you guys slightly. I don't think it's a great movie, but like this is a total like TBS Sunday afternoon. Like this is where I think I saw it. It's inoffensive. It's fine. It's silly. It's funny-ish. But again, like what's weird to me is like Reitman had stuff to do with Animal House. Like this is just so far from actual comedy. Like this is almost like a big budget Lifetime movie at points. Like, right, like that's the problem for me. Like, it doesn't take any comedic risks, other than the most obvious joke of the planet. And like, even in 1994, the idea that a man would wear a dress is not funny anymore. Like, that's Some Like It Hot. That's like 1950s comedy. And so, if you're gonna do this premise, do something with it. That's what Daniel was saying. It's a shame that they had a funny idea, and then they dropped it. Anyway, so thanks for listening, guys. Of all things, I will fill you in really quick. I don't know when I'm going to be on paternity leave, so this will drop whenever it drops. Just know that November is a normal month, January is a normal month, December is going to be family movies, and this will fall sometimes in between. So gentlemen, thank you. Daniel, thanks for taking over. And audience, this is our 8th season. So thank you for listening, subscribing, writing reviews. Consider subscribing to my other podcast, Required Reading. Follow Matt, according to Quinn. Follow Daniel, just in the street with a car, slowly. thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.